storm has crushed dozens of states with snow and freezing rain, creating a mess for travelers. Forecasters expect freezing rain to continue into the morning. You're listening to USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a .com domain name for only $2.99 for the first year. Right now at GoDaddy.com. 2-year purchase required. Second year is $14.99.
The Best in Show prize is being awarded tonight at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show in New York City. Sarah Lee Kessler has a preview.
It's a coveted crown, and it'll go to one of the dogs that placed first in earlier Westminster Best of Breed competitions. Seven purebred pooches in one of seven categories are vying for the top honor. They include the crowd favorite, a 4-year-old German Shepherd named Rumor. She'll have to impress the judges more than Lucy the Borzoi, Panda the Shih Tzu, or Annabelle the English Bulldog, and the others. The 140th Westminster Dog Show began Monday with 3,000 competitors from 140 countries. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Hawaiian musician Makana has a new song that's going viral in support of Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. The tune Fire Is Ours has Makana singing Feel the Burn, and he tells Fox News that he started catching on to Sanders' message last year.
It really resonated with the messaging that I'd been singing about for a long time, something that was representing not the corporations and the big banks, but the people.
Former world champion boxer Manny Pacquiao says he wasn't condemning homosexuals when he said they were, quote, worse than animals. The Filipino boxer apologized after drawing criticism for the statement he originally made on local TV. While apologizing for the slur, he says he was simply, quote, telling the truth of what the Bible says. Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Yeah, it's the same guy. I just changed my name, though. I'm Chris Bianco on this show, and I am principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. We help and provide practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing the wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so the consumers, be they be seeking solutions for personal or business use, can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring somebody to carry out those technical decisions. Each week, we'll talk about news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook, email me at goodmorning@100chamberradio.com, call me on the studio, 908-237-0410, and if you need to get in touch with me outside the show, BluePantherBIZ.com. Well, I have my friend here, Mike Straub from Worldwide Digital. He was talking about his business, joined the chamber not too long ago. He's moved his business out from New York out to Hunterdon County, and now we're going to talk some tech shop. So I want to thank Mike for coming back in. A quick introduction again, Mike, just so the folks who listen to this show separate from Good Morning Hunterdon know who you are.
Yeah, sure. My name is Mike, and my company creates digital solutions, specifically interactive solutions for advertisements, websites, applications, and we really try to tailor our products to the problems of the company and, you know, get things moving for them.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is all about technology here, so we're going to change the mindset a little bit and talk about the actual work that he does and the technology that he uses. So one of the things that we've talked about and inferred in the Good Morning Hunterdon show was that working in the technology that you are working in, because you have so many of these devices that are growing innovatively from each company, and I'm talking about the smartphones, we have the iPods, the iPads, the iPhone, we have the Android series, and each one of the Android series has a different flavor to it. Google has their own native Android operating system, then Samsung and Motorola layer their own thing onto the Android operating system. Then we got websites with all different browsers. You got Firefox, Opera, Safari. All these you as a who's trying to present a quality image have to navigate and deal with all of these. So what's the technique that you have used? What's the technology that you are using to try and make sure that the quality of the image, the quality of interactive advertising that you're providing for Coach, Spiegel, and whoever else is your customer, what is it that you're doing that makes it so that it's going to work on all of those platforms?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it takes a lot of work, a lot of testing.
Yeah.
So what you do is you create a few different scenarios that end up working over all the browsers and all the different devices, and you very, you know, like any kind of project, you essentially evolve those over time. So mm-hmm. as the browsers change, they pick. So, I mean, the way browsers work is depending on who owns them, they say, we want to keep this functionality. We don't like this functionality. And if you think back to the days of Internet Explorer, and, you know, obviously Windows XP is gone now.
Right.
If you think back to those days, there was a lot of political stuff that the company wanted to keep. You know, it was business motivated from the company's perspective,
sure.
Microsoft. So a lot of the things that they didn't want to implement, the other browsers wanted to compete with them against, and they said, you know what, we'll let it fly.
Mm-hmm.
So with Firefox, people started using Firefox right away.
Yep.
And it really just came down to a better user experience. That's what it all comes down to. And at that point, Microsoft had a lot to lose, so they didn't want to get into the game. Firefox had nothing to lose. Safari had nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to make sure, and now you have Chrome, and they wanted to make sure that people use their browsers. And that kind of comes down to the idea of you know, what we do as far as creating interactive advertisements. We want to make sure people use your ads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's very simply. And every browser will be slightly different. It's not as bad as it was back in the mid-90s and the early 2000s.
It's like wild.
People today, like the young guys we have coming out of college, they have no idea.
No.
And it's really funny. And it's just like, it's comical to an extent. But things are getting much better from web browsers. People are seeing that, you know, if you build the stuff correctly, people will use, will engage with your company.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we kind of make boilerplates, to use a technical term, and we siphon things out across browsers. We just come up with solutions and we build upon them. So when companies or browsers update or whatever happens, we have a pretty good plan. mm-hmm. as to how to go about making everything work universally.
Right.
And we use a lot of JavaScript. We use more JavaScript today than I think was used back in, ever before.
It wasn't supposed to be that way, but it is.
Yeah.
And consequently, Java and JavaScript has had to enhance what they offer in the browser to make it, to provide the functionality and the real pop off the page that you guys are trying to do now.
Right.
Yeah.
And speaking of browsers, there's also been a lot, programmers have gotten better, mm-hmm. and programming has gotten better.
Yeah.
Thank God. It's programmers have a natural need to organize.
Yes.
We have to be organized.
And HTML and JavaScript did not allow that to happen.
No. No, back in the day, I have a funny story.
Go ahead.
So when I was teaching myself HTML, my brother's girlfriend at the time, they're not married, she gave me a book, and it was on JavaScript, and it looked crazy. I didn't want to look. But she's like, well, if you want to make those rollover buttons, this is how you do it. And that's how she introduced JavaScript to me. The book's called, and this is how, tell how old it is, JavaScript for the World Wide Web. Okay.
There you go.
So no one really calls it that anymore.
Nope.
And it was pretty much rollovers and, pop-up images and stuff like that.
Sure.
Nowadays, we're doing full-on applications. So we're mm-hmm. doing very sophisticated computing with the same language.
Right.
What you have now is the popularity of what's called a library.
Mm-hmm.
So a library is someone taking JavaScript and using the language to create new, I don't know how else to say it, but functions.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a programmer, you probably don't know what a function is. You can write 10,000 lines of code
right.
to create a function, or you can get a library that has that already built into it,
mm-hmm.
and then just call a function from that library.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier, and you have these great innovations like jQuery, which are pretty much a standard
yep.
nowadays, and jQuery is a library of JavaScript.
Right.
That's the very technical stuff.
Yeah, just to get that library and function part out there. In the world of programming, it gets really tiring when you have to keep writing the same code over and over and over again. And what happens is programming languages allow you to compartmentalize something that you want to do. So let's say you want to see a clock change from 1 hour to the next hour. Why would I keep writing that in every clock application? Why wouldn't I just find that code in one place, that instructions in one place, and every application that uses a clock to go and ask it to do that? And so anytime we need to change it in the future, we have to change it in one place instead of having to go through thousands and thousands of lines to make that change. If anybody doesn't buy into that, I'm going to throw the words year 2000 at you. We spent 3.5 years changing code because those digits were changing and it was in everywhere. And so nowadays the technology and the languages allow you to compartmentalize functions so that you don't have to change them. You only have to change them in one place. The JavaScript that you, one of the things that came to my mind when you were talking about the work and the universality, is there a threshold, is there a floor to the speed of the computer, to the browser? I mean, if somebody's walking around with Netscape Navigator 2.0, is your website going to work in it?
It depends. What we look at is, you look at the demand. You look
yeah.
at the time, and that comes down to the business and the proposal. So, do you use Netscape? Do you know anyone that does?
No, but I'll walk into a shop nowadays, and you'll see somebody who's still trying to make or still has a computer working on Windows. I won't say Windows 95. I think that's ridiculous, but probably Windows 98 is
yeah.
possible because somebody has an application that's gone defunct for years,
mm-hmm.
and they still want this. They keep this computer running for this one reason. Now, should they be using an internet browser on that?
Not really. I think it's about time to step
yeah.
up to it.
but they don't. Some people don't realize that they're stepping on their own foot by doing it.
Yeah, well, you get comfortable with something.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. But one of the things about being within technology is if you are content for too long, you're out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really difficult to keep up with everyone, and especially now because, you know, nowadays you're not really, as far as the developer, you're not competing against someone in your town. You're competing against someone on another side of the world.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredibly challenging. Well, not necessarily challenging to keep up. Mm-hmm. But it's challenging to force yourself to read, you know, the new innovations, and also be smart enough
right.
to know not to jump on the bandwagon if it doesn't make sense for you.
Sure.
There's big companies like Google and Twitter that are developing really nice software
mm-hmm.
For developers. Twitter has I forget what it's called. I lost in my mind, but I'll remember it later.
Mm-hmm.
They develop something for web developers that I think makes sense. When I was working for Madison Square Garden,
These are their APIs that you're.
Yes.
Okay.
And we had to use it because that's what the lead technical officer wanted us to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was very much like it was very trendy, if
yeah.
you can think of it like that.
Yep.
So it was kind of like the new designer that you had to wear.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make sense for the company,
right?
And I was very much against it. So you have a lot of weird stuff going on right now. It's
sure.
It's really crazy. You also have things like GitHub. So if you felt like going to GitHub.com, that's G-I-T-H-U-B .com, you have like innovation on tap. So if you could read through the programming,
mm-hmm.
Everything's open source. It's all free.
Right.
The really amazing and staggering part of it is you can be developing a piece of software, put it up there when you go to sleep. Someone across the world will download it and work on it, make an update it. So when you wake up in the morning, you can, you know, take a bit off of their feed or take their entire application that they enhanced on yours, and the swiftness of innovation is just mind-boggling
yeah.
as to what's happening today.
Yep.
It's really amazing.
Yep. The only thing that's the caveat to that is the Heartbleed virus that came out with the OpenSSL. The group, the team that's getting involved in that open source has to be astute in making sure that we're not propagating something nasty.
That's true.
So that was the only thing. But, yeah, the innovation is wild,
yeah.
Given how many people are out there. And I don't know if you've gone on to, like, Elance or Solo Gig, but a lot of folks in Pakistan, India, Russia, Belarus, a lot of folks who are trying to enhance their own personal well-being by being innovative.
Right.
In their own country. It's a lot different here in the United States. There's a threshold of success, and folks like yourself are trying to make a small step above that for your own successful business. In those countries, those people are making a killing if they're good.
That's true. Well, that kind of brings up two points.
And they're undercutting your prices, too.
Yeah, it depends. Well, I look at it like this. One thing about, and it's really, it's a U.S. and a European issue now, you always hear that the United States doesn't really make anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at the most innovative companies that we've had in the past 10 years, like Apple and Google and Facebook and Twitter, they're all U.S. companies.
Right.
So we're still innovating. We might not physically be manufacturing like we used to. I would like to start seeing that again.
Right.
And at the same time, you know, if these guys are, you know, on some remote island somewhere or some crazy country and they want to put the time into doing it. I mean, these are not, they're not even English speaking countries
mm-hmm.
and they're learning English and they're learning these languages to an extent. I say good for them. And I say, why can't we be doing that here?
Yeah.
And I think technology
they're
in
hungry.
The United States, they're hungry. And I get what that's like.
Yep.
I also think as far as the U.S. goes, you know what? We're competing against the rest of the world. I deal with that every day.
Yeah.
So if you think that you are entitled to something, you're not.
Nope.
And you should not raise your children like that. You should really get them into programs that offer, you know, programming 101 and you know, HTML and JavaScript basics.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of even free opportunities. So even if you don't live in a rich neighborhood and you don't have good schools, if you have access to the internet, there's websites like Khan Academy and Code School that offer completely free lessons, and that's something that, you know, I sound like in like a like my grandfather when I was a kid. And that was like 10 years ago. We didn't even have that. I had to read a book.
You had to go to school uphill both ways in the snow.
Pretty much. There's and that's a thing. So it's like it's like I don't feel sorry for you if you can't pick up a book or get onto a website. I just don't have any empathy. There's people that are hungry, mm-hmm. and you either compete or you don't.
Right.
So and in this country right now, it's like get over the entitlement and start working.
But here's my caveat to that, my addition to that. We have so many people that are as hungry as you. Not that many, though. I feel it's a smaller percentage. So if you really want to make a difference in your life, there is a huge opportunity to be in the United States and take on that role of passion, effort, drive that Mike's showing and has shown with his company. You can do well for yourself at a very early age. All you have to do is put your nose to it and start working on it. So,
yeah, I agree.
I highly recommend what he's talking about. If you want to get into technology, it's all there, man. It's moving lightning speed, is it not? I mean,
yeah.
Where are you like on the Google Glass front? I mean, you're already starting to think about how you're going to have to handle that.
I'm not considering it right now. If a client came to me saying we want this, I mm-hmm. would totally go for it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that as, I personally think it's a very intrusive product.
Uh-huh.
So you can wear those things. You can take video of anybody at any time.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan. I think I love science fiction. I think it's really cool as far as a sci-fi product.
Right.
And I think that it could be, I think, again, this is generation one.
Yeah.
It can be much greater.
Right.
People are talking about how clunky the device is at this point,
mm-hmm.
and to an extent it is, but I think that the sky's the limit. I think they're going to go, the next form of computing over the next 10 years is going to be putting chips into the body somehow,
mm-hmm.
connecting chips to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a synthesis between science and technology that we haven't seen before because it hasn't been possible.
Right.
And with our advances in science and technology and things like nanotechnology and our understanding of the body and the fact now that we're mapping the brain, it's just going to be pretty much unpredictable besides saying cool things are going to happen. Like, we just can't even imagine
it. Right.
Like, you think of back in – so it's 2014. You think of 1914,
mm-hmm.
Where they had, horse and buggy. And they had no idea within a couple of years they were going to have motor carriages and, mm-hmm. And then you look into the 60s and we had a man on the moon.
Right.
That's tremendous.
And now it's moving exponentially.
Yeah. And
faster.
We just, like, for me to think 5 years in advance is pretty, is almost crazy.
I mean, we have a smartphone, right? This is like UNIVAC in my hand that filled a whole room.
Yep. That's true.
And UNIVAC couldn't do what that smartphone's doing right now.
That's very true.
On its best day.
Yeah, NASA used all the protractors and calculus.
All right, Mike, we're going to take a quick break, do the news, and we'll be right back with more of Tech Today. Hang on. You're listening to Tech Today with Hunter Chamber Radio.com and Mike Straub from Worldwide Digital. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand. or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Kowicki & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, stay tuned for Tech Today. We're talking to Mike Straub from WorldwideDigitalLLC.com. We're talking tech, talking shop here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So we were talking off air, Mike, that the ACA website, the Obamacare website, and we're not here to throw the issue of health care under the bus. Somebody else can do that. But what we both identified with is when a client comes to you as a technologist and a project manager, there's an understanding. Certain clients understand the work that's involved and the complexities involved, and some other ones happen to just want their fingers snapped and the thing to just happen, and they don't realize all the testing and complexity that goes on behind the scenes. The Obamacare, the ACA website, fairly significant. What do you remember the amount of developers and hours that was going into that?
It was a huge amount.
Yeah.
You know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, as a developer, and you see that, and you kind of see, I mean, you know, it's a government project, so you think, sure, there's going to be some politics and some bureaucracy, and but you think that at some point you can get a website up.
No.
And it's really a sad thing. You can throw money at an issue. It's not going to solve it. And I really wish they would have went with, a team that could have been held more accountable, that would have been able to deliver. And the problems that they ran into weren't necessarily technological. They were definitely project management issues where I think they just ended up hiring more people. It was scoped out poorly.
You can't do it. You cannot keep bringing in people and expecting everybody to code on the same area and expect it to work.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, too. if you think about as far as programming goes and the compartmentalization of it, to get things done quickly, you have one person work on a very specific element.
Right.
And, you know, the whole team is working on, say, like one big project, and it's just really sad to see it. I might say frustrating and aggravating to see that kind of thing happen where it shouldn't ever happen, and it certainly shouldn't happen for a government program that I hope does well.
It's very commonplace. I was telling you off air, I had to deal with this in larger corporations where you are dealing with people outside of the IT department, and it's up to the leader of the IT department to be real, be truthful with the amount of technology, the amount of complexity, and the timeline. If you're just going to buy into or acquiesce to the demands of your client, you're doing them a disservice. And I used to hit them right between the eyes, metaphorically, with, well, I can promise you that I'll get it on that due date, but it's really not going to happen. So we can have this conversation now or later. You're going to be a lot more frustrated later, I promise you. So I had to be a realist.
Yeah.
How do you handle that with your clients?
Very similarly.
Yeah.
I mean, again, because this, you know, when I first started out, I was an employee, and then I was a contract guy, and now I own a company. So it just comes down to just business owner one. You guys got to trust me.
Yeah.
And if I promise a product that I can't deliver on, we're not going to work together again.
Yeah.
So it's really important for me to kind of set things out. And you got to be, you know, if you're out there and you're starting out, this could be a really tough thing for you to do if you're not, if you can't kind of hold on to your own, because they're going to want more than you can give them very often.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to make them happy, probably.
Nope.
And, you have to look at the big picture. And, if you have a background, like if you have like products that you've done a number of times, that's much easier.
Yeah.
So, it's something you should definitely keep in mind. And, you definitely want to make them happy, but you have to be honest. You have to be tough with them. You have to tell them what they don't want to hear sometimes.
Yeah. I always put things in phases. I tried to make the phases fairly bite-sized. It's a perspective and relative to me. But it allowed us to actually implement and execute and get it out in the public and get it into production. Because if you start to hold on to too much code for too long, the old code gets stale. It starts breaking because it's not being worked on and used. And people forget about it, and they don't test it anymore. How are you, in terms of interaction with your customer, when you start to develop something and it's kind of in a development stage or you're feeling out the product and trying to get some feedback from them, how do you get that to implement? How do you get to let them drive it, so to speak?
We want them to we plan it out so they have every project we plan out, we set out weeks or days, a decent amount of time to do testing, bug testing, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we present the applications initially is through design.
Right.
If we have a prototype that is similar to what they want, they can interact with it then.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something entirely new that we have to develop for that project, then we'll deliver to them, like kind of like you said, in different pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is to have it in their hands, a few weeks before the launch.
Yep.
So they can kind of see what they have.
Yep.
And, it's also for testing and bug testing, because if you're a developer, you should definitely not be the only one testing your product. You should definitely get people coming in who have no idea what your product is.
Highly agree.
Yeah. That's really important.
I had some folks. The interesting thing about developers and the rest of the world, and I'm going to make that biased statement for just a moment. Developers have a certain way that they do something, and there are certain ways that they have never even dreamed of clicking on a website. It's never even come to their attention to try such a thing. And I've had some folks who are less technically savvy but a lot more risk takers who will go out there and do something that I would have never dreamed, and lo and behold, it has a pretty negative significance to the website. And I asked them, how did they do that? And I never would have dreamed that it was even possible. So you do have to have a lot of different types of personalities and interactions. And the websites provide so many different ways. You have the buttons. You have the voice-driven. You have right mouse clicks. You got left mouse clicks. You got keyboarding. So you have to test all these different ways that a website works, because one might work and the second way you try it will break.
Right.
Yeah. And I had one woman, I don't know how she did it, man. I think I had about 150,000 customers, and somehow, some way, she put her coffee cup on the middle page of the database and picked a name, and that was the only name that didn't work in the database.
That happens. Yeah, that's why you need people
in
there.
Some people have that knack. Amazing.
It's true. It's as essential as every other part of the development process, getting people in there who've never seen your, whether it's an application or website or whatever.
Yeah.
Get them using it, because they'll use it in a way that you had no idea that they would.
When you're putting together these websites for so many different brands, for your own sanity, there are certain structures, I guess generic structures, that you're building upon?
Yeah, it's good to start out, as long as you can, start out with things that you already know work.
Right.
And you innovate when you either have the time or the need.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to start out with basic structures, your basic HTML markup and best practices. You always want to start with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get to a certain point, then you start trying the new stuff out.
Sure.
And again, going back to the libraries that are out there, the functionality that could be implemented. And here's something else. So you talk about one great technology that came out a few years ago is HTML5 Canvas,
mm-hmm.
which is a specific area of HTML and allows you to do some really awesome things. But it's not supported by every browser.
Right.
So that's one of those things where you kind of go into it and you see – you know, as you look at the company's market, who they want to reach, and what kind of product you want to develop. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of build something based off of that.
Right. Which brings me to my next point of reference. How much do you adhere to, like, the Worldwide Consortium in terms of standards for HTML, JavaScript? How do you keep up with that? How do you maintain the websites to upgrade to those?
I just do basic testing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really don't consort. I don't go onto that site too much. I look at – I have – you know, if you came into my studio, you would see a series of computers.
Right.
All from, like, different errors. And, you know, I have one that actually does run Netscape. So I have that. That's my G4.
Take a picture on
and,
that
And it's cool seeing it. But, you know, I have several devices I test on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I do it.
Right.
And that's my process.
Okay. So how do you keep up with the latest technology, the next thing that's coming around that somebody's going to walk into your shop and ask you about at some point?
There's a lot of different ways, and everyone has their own, you know, source. With my background in advertising, Advertising Age, believe it or not, has a lot of great innovation.
Mm.
What you see is a lot of companies like mine who are creative agencies. And they, you know, somehow come up with ideas to infuse things you wouldn't really expect into an application or some sort of experience. There's this one company based out of London. I can't think of their name. They were creating holograms that were interactive. And it really wasn't that technically difficult. Like, I saw how they were doing it. And I really don't want to go into too much detail,
mm-hmm.
but it was really pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know, you look at a lot of the innovation that we've had over the past couple of centuries, and I always go back to Henry Ford because he didn't invent the motor. He didn't come up with the concept for the car, but he did find – he pretty much built a better mousetrap based on what was around. And creative agencies, that's what they're here to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they that's one of my – so I'll look and see what they're doing. And then I'll go and I'll, you know, talk with a lot of my friends who are obviously in technology, and they'll say, have you tried XYZ? And, you know, or sometimes you just do a search.
Yeah.
You know, because probably what you're looking for, 100,000 other developers are also looking for.
It's out there.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing about the internet is that all that code
is
sitting out there. If you're looking at a website, you can actually click on it and, for the most part, grab almost the entire website.
That's true.
Well, that's, see all the code.
That goes back to the open source.
Yeah.
And that's how, and that's, I mean, we could have a different show about talking about the internet, and the internet was literally not designed to do exactly what it's doing today.
No.
So you talk about security flaws and hard bleed and everything like that. It was not built to do this.
Sure.
It would be nice if we, you know, kind of got together and built something that was much more secure.
Yep.
But the open source concept is that the internet is free.
Yep.
Anyone can use it.
Yep.
And you can, you know, if you're curious about a huge brand and their source code, you can literally look at it.
Yep.
So. All
right, we're going to take another quick break. In the last segment, we'll talk more with Mark Straub, Worldwide Digital. Stay tuned.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
I came here for two reasons. One, because I care deeply about Jeb. And two, because I care deeply about our country.
Former President George W. Bush is campaigning for his brother Jeb in South Carolina. Explaining why he thinks Jeb would make a successful commander-in-chief, he says that he has both the character and experience to be great. He also said voters can trust Jeb to be measured and thoughtful and to follow through on his words. Recent polls show that George W. Bush's approval rating among South Carolina Republicans is 84%. The biggest winners on music's biggest night are Taylor Swift, Kendrick Lamar, and Ed Sheeran. Swift won the Album of the Year Grammy for 1989, and Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud is Song of the Year. The White House isn't saying who President Obama might nominate to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who died Saturday. However, spokesman Eric Schultz says it could be someone similar to Obama nominees Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. Senate Republicans have vowed to block any nominee Obama puts forward. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Geico applauds your inner road champion.
A solid bump from Geico's fist to yours goes out to the little rebel that lives within. The one who made you daydream as a kid about owning a chopper, chroming it out, and chewing on toothpicks. Just to look tough. For you, champ, Geico insures motorcycles with great rates. And to further fuel your engine, you can access your policy anytime, day or night, through the Geico mobile app. Because Geico knows that even make-believe renegades need help from time to time.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings. Only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Senator John McCain weighs in on a new Supreme Court justice.
We should wait to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia, according to Senator John McCain. He says the U.S. Supreme Court justice nomination began fraying in 1987.
That was when Judge Bork, totally qualified individual, was nominated by President Herbert Walker Bush, and they savaged him and they destroyed him. That's when this whole process began to unwind.
McCain says the process needs to wait until after the presidential election.
Have the president nominate whoever he wants, and obviously he has that right, but the Senate has also the obligation, and I believe we should carry out that obligation after the next election.
Scalia passed away this weekend at a Texas ranch of natural causes. He was 79. I'm Melody Burkett.
Damage and injuries are being reported as severe weather rips across the South. In the Florida Panhandle, homes were damaged from a tornado that rolled through several counties. Behind the wild weather in the South is a winter storm hitting the East Coast. You're listening to USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a .com domain name for only $2.99 for the first year. Right now at GoDaddy.com. 2-year purchase required. Second year is $14.99.
Doctors Without Borders says an airstrike destroyed one of its clinics in northern Syria Monday. The aid organization says 4 rockets hit the clinic in 2 passes. The group says at least 8 staffers are missing. Doctors Without Borders says it appears the attack was deliberately aimed at the healthcare facility. Monday's attack comes less than a week after airstrikes hit a Doctors Without Borders hospital in southern Syria, killing 3 people and wounding at least 6. A retirement rule could threaten small businesses in Colorado and have the possibility of resonating effects across the country. Alice Joe is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
When you look at how this regulation is written and you're going to increase the cost of offering a retirement plan, that's just going to make it that much more difficult for entrepreneurs and other small business owners in Colorado to be able to do that.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is expressing concern with the Department of Labor's reproposal of the definition of fiduciary regulation. The concern is that the fiduciary rule will limit investors' ability to seek financial planning services while also restricting access and choice. The Chamber has submitted comments on the original proposal, noting a number of areas of concern, along with a letter to former Labor Secretary Hilda Solis. Alice Joe with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says the fiduciary rule discriminates against small businesses with less than 100 employees in their retirement plan.
First of all, that's one major red flag because, as we all know, small businesses are the engines of job creation. By targeting them, that's never a good thing.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
My, how the time flies. Mark Straub from Worldwide Digital is talking with me. We're talking shop. And this goes faster than the Good Morning Hunterdon show because we're really getting into the meat and potatoes of it. We only have about 7 minutes left, Mike. And I guess one of the things that I've seen is with regard to mobile computing, especially the phones and stuff like that, are you doing the same type of work for your smartphones that you do on the websites, or yeah. are you trying to keep them the same as best you can?
Yeah, I try to I get as involved as I can with every piece of technology. Mm-hmm. So with the applications that I've developed for, you know, websites, I'm also looking at how they interact with the mobile phones and all that. And
right.
Yeah, it's definitely a full-time job.
Yeah.
And, you know, then some.
Now, how many people either work with you directly or indirectly with Worldwide Digital?
The way that I operate right now is I look at the projects that we have coming in, mm-hmm. and then I can staff accordingly.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm a startup. This is my first quarter here in Flemington, mm-hmm. and I try to be as lean as possible.
Sure.
But what's great about working in this industry is you have a lot of contractors and a lot of freelancers.
Yep.
So it's pretty easy to pick people up. What I would like to do is start meeting some more programmers, developers, designers locally,
mm-hmm.
That are, you know, trustworthy people. And so if anyone listening here knows of anyone who can develop or design, have them reach out to me. You know, like I said, my life at this point is still very much in New York,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it'd be nice to have people here locally that I work with.
Right. So most of the time your folks are contracted per project, so
yep.
to speak. Okay. Got to do some maintenance at some point, right? So coach has obviously got to keep in contact with you to either what they're going to change or. And this is the part I love. The companies themselves, the technological companies themselves, decide that they have to upgrade.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're going like crazy, right? As soon as we go to Internet Explorer 11, you now got to figure out whether everything's going to still work.
Yeah. It is something that has to be considered. And
yeah.
it does happen from here to from time to time. One positive thing about browsers is that they're all kind of getting pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as far as the functionality that they allow.
Right.
So that's makes our lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
But now with that being said, is like I said before, with GitHub and the, you know, global 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week innovation on programming and libraries and all that, there's always something new, something better,
mm-hmm.
tomorrow, the next day. And, you know, and people, they're much more savvy than they were. you know, 5 years ago, and they want to, if they saw something on someone else's phone, you better have that ready for them, and, you know, that's how they are, and, you know, and they have every right to want that.
Sure.
And then your job is to see if it can, your job is to make it happen.
Right.
And if not, find out a good reason why not.
But now, where browsers have started to become kind of coagulated, they've come together. Smartphones are have become the new browsers, right?
I hate it.
Everybody's got a different flavor.
Yeah, it's annoying. Yeah. And that, again, that comes down to business. It's very business. If you think of it from a browser's perspective, everyone wants you to develop the best application for their browsers. And Safari led the way. I'm sorry, Firefox and Safari led the way. Google Chrome got on board. And finally, after 100 years, IE is getting in the game. I don't know why it took so long. I mean, I do, but, you know, so they want the user to stay on their browser. Mm-hmm. They want to have the best, experience for their users. And you have just the opposite happening with mobile devices, where if you have an app store, you want people making applications specifically for your device. Uh-huh. So then browsers, they don't necessarily want to work the way that browsers do. But you also have companies like mine who say, we have to find a way to make everything happen.
Uh-huh.
So guys like us, they're pretty busy. It's, you know, so now the internet got, like you said, the internet got better finally.
Yep.
And now I'm experiencing the exact same issues that I had in the, mid-2000s now with native applications on phones and soon TV screens and everything else.
Yep. Well, TV screen's just going to be a giant extension of an iPad. That's all it's going to be, or a tablet.
Who knows? I mean, you think of the iPhone, and when that first came out, people were like, my flip phone's fine. What do I have to email people for, and it changed everything. I mean, honestly, I couldn't have predicted that.
No.
I thought it was going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That was my thoughts. But you look at, but it's another really creative, innovative way to look at how to build a business where they said, we can only think of so much as a company. So you look at Apple, let's open this up to developers and see what they figure out. And that's exactly what they did.
Right.
And it changed the world. It was pretty cool.
All right. So I only got one more minute left. I'm going to throw this stumper at you. Wearable technology. We talked about Google Glass.
Yeah.
The watch, other stuff out there. There's stuff that you at least got to start dabbling in that you might be involved in at some point with your websites?
I think it's very, very gimmicky right now.
Yeah.
I think people are like really hungry for the new thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen the phones and they've seen the tablets, and one tablet has been successful.
Yeah.
And I think people are just, I think it's just a gimmick. That's how I see it. But I do see ways to innovate.
Yep.
I mean, really, how smart do you need your watch to be if it's just a watch? You've really got to think outside the box to say, how could this be better than a watch?
Right.
Like, if you think of magazines, and I worked with Connie Nash for a little bit, and that's what they were trying to figure out. How do we make an application that's better than a magazine?
Right.
And what everyone's been doing is you just flip through the pages. Well, that's what you do with a magazine, so who cares?
Yeah.
You look at Flipboard, where it can actually you can actually create your own magazine on your iPad. That's much better.
Yeah.
So it takes something that you really can't teach in school. I think you can nurture it.
Yep.
It comes down to creativity and innovation.
All right. I'm going to ask you to give your contact information again, and then we're going to have to bow out of here. We killed 2 hours in a very fast period of time.
Yeah, it was quick.
So it's Mike Straub. He's at WorldwideDigitalLLC.com. You can check out his website, and he's going to give his contact information, email, and phone number.
Yeah, sure. So you could contact me on my phone at 646-435-1896, and you can email me at michael@worldwidedigitalllc.com.
All right. I'm going to invite you back more and more, man, if you got time. So let me know when you want to come and talk more shop.
I will.
That is Mike Straub from Worldwide Digital LLC. And that's the end of Tech Today for today. Don't fear technology. Use it, understand, and embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today. And hopefully Mike and I have demystified some technology for you. We'll talk to you next week, same time, 10 o'clock. Some Things About Money is up next on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
I came here for two reasons. One, because I care deeply about Jeb. And two, because I care deeply about our country.
Former President George W. Bush is campaigning for his brother Jeb in South Carolina, explaining why he thinks Jeb would make a successful commander-in-chief. He says that he has both the character and experience to be great. He also said voters can trust Jeb to be measured and thoughtful and to follow through in his words. Recent polls show that George W. Bush's approval rating among South Carolina Republicans is 84%. The biggest winners on music's biggest night are Taylor Swift, Kendrick Lamar, and Ed Sheeran. Swift won the Album of the Year Grammy for 1989, and Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud is Song of the Year. The White House isn't saying who President Obama might nominate to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who died Saturday. However, spokesman Eric Schultz says it could be someone similar to Obama nominees Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. Senate Republicans have vowed to block any nominee Obama puts forward. You're listening to USA Radio News.
GEICO applauds your inner road champion.
A solid bump from GEICO's fist to yours goes out to the little rebel that lives within. The one who made you daydream as a kid about owning a chopper, chroming it out, and chewing on toothpicks. Just to look tough. For you, champ, GEICO insures motorcycles with great rates. And to further fuel your engine, you can access your policy anytime, day or night, through the GEICO mobile app. Because GEICO knows that even make-believe renegades need help from time to time.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings. Only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Senator John McCain weighs in on a new Supreme Court justice.
We should wait to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia, according to Senator John McCain. He says the U.S. Supreme Court justice nomination began fraying in 1987.
That was when Judge Bork, totally qualified individual, was nominated by President Herbert Walker Bush, and they savaged him and they destroyed him. That's when this whole process began to unwind.
McCain says the process needs to wait until after the presidential election.
Have the president nominate whoever he wants, and obviously he has that right, but the Senate has also the obligation, and I believe we should carry out that obligation after the next election.
Scalia passed away this weekend at a Texas ranch of natural causes. He was 79. I'm Melody Burkett.
Damage and injuries are being reported as severe weather rips across the South. In the Florida Panhandle, homes were damaged from a tornado that rolled through several counties. Behind the wild weather in the South is a winter storm hitting the East Coast. You're listening to USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a .com domain name for only $2.99 for the first year. Right now at GoDaddy.com. 2-year purchase required. Second year is $14.99.
Doctors Without Borders says an airstrike destroyed one of its clinics in northern Syria Monday. The aid organization says four rockets hit the clinic in two passes. The group says at least eight staffers are missing. Doctors Without Borders says it appears the attack was deliberately aimed at the healthcare facility. Monday's attack comes less than a week after airstrikes hit a Doctors Without Borders hospital in southern Syria, killing three people and wounding at least six. A retirement rule could threaten small businesses in Colorado and have the possibility of resonating effects across the country. Alice Joe is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
When you look at how this regulation is written and you're going to increase the cost of offering a retirement plan, that's just going to make it that much more difficult for entrepreneurs and other small business owners in Colorado to be able to do that.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is expressing concern with the Department of Labor's reproposal of the definition of fiduciary regulation.